email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Big news, big news. The Little Museum of Dublin is about to reopen its historic doors after a stunning multi-million transformation. Where visitors can look forward to enjoying a completely reimagined exhibition space. And here to give us a sneak preview of what lies in store within the House of Marvels is Claire Jenkins, who's the education manager at the museum. Good afternoon, Claire. Good. So as we speak, there are people sipping wine.
As we speak, the doors of the Little Museum of Dublin have been flung open for all the lovely people of the city and beyond. So it's very exciting news. We're very privileged to be able to say that after a year of being in a small little tiny one room pop-up on Pembroke Street, we are now back in our old home at number 15 St Stephen's Green.
And it's one of the most popular tourist attractions in the city.
Indeed, we're flabbergasted. I mean, we've been in this one room place for a year and we've still maintained our status as the number one thing to do in Dublin on TripAdvisor. So we've thousands of 5-star reviews, which is staggering. And it is a testament, I think, to the power of storytelling.
Okay, so for people who don't know about the Little Museum of Dublin, it's in a Georgian house on Stephen's Green.
It is,
How many floors?
There are 3 floors.
Yes.
So what we have done now, people who are familiar with the museum, we normally enter in through the front door, but now we've been able to go down into the basement, expand the space in which we can showcase the collection, because obviously our collection is comprised of loads of beautiful objects donated by the people of Dublin.
Bits and pieces.
I say beautiful, but also weird and strange and wonderful and all of those things.
Yeah, so for example, have you got a full room dedicated to you too?
We do, on the very top floor. We've expanded that now slightly.
Now, is it a big room? Is it big enough for Bono's
Eagle? It's a big enough room, you can imagine. Well, it's debatable.
We're very proud of you too.
And
obviously
absolutely.
People who visit this country, that's one of the selling points of
absolutely.
Ireland.
We get people from all over the world emailing us going, is the U2 room open yet? Is the U2 room open yet?
And what's in that?
We've lots of, it tells the story of the band essentially, loads of memorabilia. We have expanded it as well. We have some amazing Eric Luke photos that capture other musicians from, iconic musicians. We've got Ronnie Drew and Shane McGowan, Sinead O'Connor. Vera Clute, the artist, has also donated her miniature of Luke Kelly, the famous the copper hair.
Yes.
So the little maquette of that.
I'd say that looks amazing, doesn't it?
It does. It's very striking as you come in the room, and it's lovely to see it in detail instead of just driving by in the car.
Is that behind glass?
No, it's there. So you can, it's not behind glass yet. Hopefully it doesn't get vandalised.
I just thought
where you were going there. Hopefully people
respect it. That's very robbable. That's very robbable, isn't it? You can go, look what I've got, You might have a traffic cone, but I've a miniature of Luke Kelly's head. I'm excited to see the large scale Doll's House. Tell us about that.
So Tara's Palace, it's a Doll's House that was made by master Irish craftsmen. Now it's been in storage for about 3 years. It used to be on show in the Paris Court Centre, some people might remember, and now we have it and we are ready to show it to the people of Dublin. I say it's going to be really interesting for young people.
How big are we talking?
I mean, it takes up a full room. If you think of a Georgian drawing room and you walk in, it's right there in front of you and you get to walk around it, take a little amble and peer into all of the little tiny rooms. We've all been enjoying looking at it over the past couple of days, because every time you look at it, you see something different. Like there's little furniture made out of bone by prisoners. I don't know where the prisoners were from. I can't remember that fact. But
weird.
And a parquet floor made entirely out of bog. So just really, really interesting.
And that's a new addition.
It is a new addition.
The house itself has an interesting past.
It does.
So up until in the census of 1911, who owned it and who
lived there? We have a story that the house itself was built around 1798. Right. So, peak Georgian era. And we have, the famous photo of Henrietta Street. So it's the picture that was taken in 1911 when there was a census.
Yes.
And on Henrietta Street, obviously those Georgian houses became some of the worst slums in Europe. And we say, in 1911, there were, 104 people living in one of these Georgian houses on Henrietta Street. And by contrast, in our lovely building at the time, there were 5 members of the same family. So the Houston family.
Uh-huh.
There was Dr. Francis Houston and his wife, Frances, and his daughter, Frances, and his son, Francis, and the twins, Francis, and any guesses?
Fred.
Yes, correct. Hey! How did you know that, Ray?
Because I read the brief.
So it is a funny story and it kind of gives a context, those two contrasting aspects of this.
Is that real, all the Francises?
I mean, yes.
Huh?
Yes, I believe so. I believe so.
I used to know a family, they all had the same initials. You know, I thought that was odd.
Yeah, or all the John Pauls. We also talk about that, you know, when the Pope came to Ireland in 1979 and the coincidence of the Irish baby boom peaking 9 months after that and everyone of that generation being likely to be called.
They got the blessing.
Yes.
Got the blessing, yeah.
Indeed.
The brilliant thing about it is it's beautifully all over the place. Isn't that it?
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest. It's absolutely brilliantly bonkers. And I suppose how we, one of the things we love to do is tell the story. So our guides are glorious. We have a fantastic tribe of people in the museum. We're like one big family. Yeah. And our guides really do play a key role because they're the ones who get to interpret the objects. We like to say we use small things to tell a big story.
And we were talking to Conor Pope at the top of the programme about the fact that the price of groceries has gone up 5%. And there are some groceries in their prices. What is it in the
museum? There's a little cabinet and there's loads of little groceries in there. It's always fascinating how many people pay attention to them. And you might have a granny coming in from Dublin with her granddaughter and saying, do you know what? I remember that pack of Jacob biscuits or the pack of the bachelor peas or whatever. And right beside that, there happens to be a photo of Maureen O'Carroll, Brendan O'Carroll's mother. Obviously, she was the first female Labour TD, and she campaigned to bring down the price of groceries. Which I think is really interesting because at the time, as a woman in politics, she was campaigning for particular things that benefited women and the family. And she also campaigned to remove the words illegitimate from birth certificates. So there's two powerful stories
a really strong woman side by side.
Yeah,
a really strong woman. We need somebody to campaign to,
right now.
Yes, to bring down the price of groceries, don't we? Emma Blane, the mayor, Lord Mayor of Dublin, sort of opened it today. You have a sort of a wine reception going on right now, and it's open to the public
tomorrow. So,
what's your favourite?
Oh,
yeah, you should have come in armed with that now.
I should have come in. Do you know what I've been really enjoying, honestly, over the past couple of days? Is often when you're working in the building and you're doing tours, you don't get to just wander and read everything and look at everything in detail. And honestly, I could spend 2 days in there really just taking in all the little small details, the little items. Initially, when I first came to the museum, there was a mirror up and it said on the mirror in the bathroom, "You belong in this museum." And that really struck me as, you know, that some cultural institutions can feel a little bit off limits.
See, yes.
And as education manager, it's so important for us to promote the idea that our museum belongs to everybody.
And you thought, that's great. Look, I got the job and now they've
given
me a mirror as well.
It was meant to be. And also the Millennium Milk Bottle. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's often mentioned. 1988.
Yes,
I think it was because I was about seven at the time and it just has real nostalgia. Yeah. I suppose that's when history becomes more like personal memory, more unreliable than an Irish train.
Now,